It's time for the Phenology Show. How many times have you heard me say that? Good golly. Once a week, 52 times a year for 36 and a half years. I can't even do that kind of math, but it's like 18,000 times. Or 1,800 times. Either way, it's a lot, and you probably are sick and tired of hearing me say it. But you know what? I do it because I like it. And if you happen to find it valuable for your life, well, that's good. It's a positive. I come in here every Tuesday morning and I recite to you the things that I have noticed changing and blooming and migrating and emerging from hibernation and going into hibernation and what I'm hoping I can do with all of that is just make you a little more comfortable outside. Because there are some truly amazing things going on in the world around you, and it only takes you to become a little bit more observant or just take that moment in time to kind of slow down for a second and say, hey, I heard John Latimer talking about this, and now here it is right in front of me. This is astonishing. So join... That's awful. Here, let me get that thing. There it is. Nice, clear tone.
Joe Morrissey, our friend from Mexico, upgrading his membership, is going to get those note cards and a tote bag as a thank you gift. Joe, we can't thank you enough for continuing wherever he lives in the world. He continues to listen. He continues to be a member. He continues to be a part of this radio service. So thank you so much, Joe. 800-662-5799. Grab a tote bag. Grab a new Sasquatch shirt when you call in and pledge your support. It's lake colored, which you can't beat. You know, it's got Sasquatch on it and some trees.
You
and
know.
It's just going to keep you going. You might need a new shirt because you can't get out to buy shirts as much anymore.
That's right. And if you've ever, like I often do, like I love to do, if you've ever swam in a mine pit, the lake color they're talking about is the color you see when you swim over that face where the ore was mined and you're now looking at 200 to 300 feet of water, and it is this deep aquamarine sort of blue-gray color that is just magnificent and mystifying and frightening and enlightening and enthralling all at once. It is just absolutely wonderful. So if you haven't done that, get out and swim the edge of a mine somewhere. You will be thrilled and excited. And you'll understand what they mean when they say lake-colored. And if you're wearing your Northern Community Radio t-shirt, I'm sure you'll get some comments from folks who are going to be there with you. It's time for a little phenology. Maybe you've been walking around. Maybe you're one of these people that has one of those gas-powered blowers and you're blowing the lawn clippings off of your sidewalks and your driveways. And the last couple of weeks, maybe you've noticed these sort of half-inch long reddish-brown caterpillars? Well, actually, they're not caterpillars at all. Those are the male flowers from the pines, the white pines and the red pines, the Norway pines. Those trees have dropped or are dropping their male flowers. I had 1.17 inches of rain this morning. I don't believe it rained before midnight, so I think it was all this morning. And that kind of a rainfall will definitely bring those male flowers out of the pine trees. So if you're out there disturbing your neighbors with that raucous machine, notice that some of the stuff you're blowing away are actually the old male flowers from your pines. This is also the time of year when fruit are becoming ripe. The raspberries are ripe. I ate some yesterday. The first berries were ripe probably back on the 7th for me, and that turned out to be like one day early, which is the same as saying it's right on time. So the raspberries are ripe. Pin cherries are becoming ripe. Blueberries are becoming ripe. June berries are almost at the end of their period now. If you find some that are in the woods, they are perhaps not as advanced, but those that are growing out on the edges And my good friend Sam Miltich and I have had a number of conversations about Juneberries lately, and those that grow on the edges of the fields and seem to get early morning or late afternoon sunlight are really getting to the point where there's very little left in the way of ripe fruit. They're getting down to the bare end. And the same is true of the Juneberries at my house. Common tansy is in bloom. I can look at it right out the window here. August Jensen and I and Harry Hutchins one day spent at a Riverfest festival. We spent probably half hour to 45 minutes pulling tansy out of that flower garden, that rain garden down there. And I see that despite our best efforts, there's some more. So, Augie, if you're in the neighborhood, come on by. I'll help you and we'll pull some more tansy. Also blooming right now, and I think this is really an important one. We talked about this a little bit last week, but the basswood are in flower. And if you have a basswood near you, you need to get out and, if nothing else, go stand downwind of it and appreciate the wonderful smell of the flowers of the basswood. If you're a bit more adventurous, you may wish to pick those flowers and take them and dry them, and then you will have the makings for tea. And I conduct a nature hike 3 days a week at a local resort here in the Grand Rapids area. And one of the hikers that was with me last Saturday, I believe it was from Belarus. And that woman, when I pointed out the basswoods to her and said, "You may recognize these in Europe. These are called linden." And she lit right up and told me a story about how she and her mother and her grandmother would go out and pick linden flowers, basswood flowers, every year around the 4th of July, around mid-July. And then they picked a lot because they wanted to have these dried flowers for tea throughout the winter. And so you may wish to give it a try. I would tell you this, the flower aroma is wonderful. And when they're dried and when they're turned into a tea, the aroma's right back there. And it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. There's another flower out there that's blooming right now. Actually, there are a lot of flowers blooming right now, but the one that I'm focusing on this moment is one called creeping bellflower or roving bellflower. And a lot of people find it an annoying invasive. I don't know if it escaped from gardens or how it came to be, but it is doing just fine out in the woods. It is a 2 to 2.5 foot tall stalk, and it has large blue bell-shaped flowers on it. The flowers, not always, but they seem to sort of align themselves on one side of this spike from which they bloom. So if you're looking at these blue flowers on a fairly tall spike, this is much taller than harebell, which is another blue bell-shaped flower that is also blooming right now. But the harebell tends to be, it's much shorter, and the leaves of the harebell are as thin as a blade of grass. But the creeping bellflower has these broader leaves and a big, heavy stalk, like I say, almost 2 to 2.5 feet tall. And the flowers are larger than harebell, and they tend to organize themselves on one side of the plant. So you can check that out. There is a plant blooming. It began to bloom just before I was on air last week, and this week it is probably at or near its peak of bloom, and that plant is water hemlock. And the water hemlock is growing in wet areas right now. It has a very long, narrow, five-leaved cluster. It has a disc of flowers that are tiny, and there might be 50 to 100 of these flowers in a single disc. and there'll be several discs on the same plant. And if you look at the stem of the plant, it will be purple. Now, water hemlock is extremely poisonous. A little bit of it will kill you. And so you don't want to mess with this plant. If you have it, if you were trying to get rid of it, you would want to wear gloves, and you would want to be, just like with COVID, you would want to keep your hands away from your face. So check out the water hemlock. It may be blooming in your area, and if it is, just leave it alone. It's a great home for the black swallow-tailed butterfly. The caterpillars enjoy the plant. The plant itself belongs to the carrot family, which explains why it has that disc of white flowers. Yarrow is another member of the carrot family, which looks similar. So watch out for the water hemlock. Make sure that you give it, give it the respect it deserves. You don't have to be afraid of it. And if you're not putting it in your mouth, you don't have to worry about it. But if you have young children, you either want to point it out to them, or you want to get it out of your yard and out of your area so that they don't accidentally get into it. This past week was the first week that I noticed flocks of American crows, and as is often the case, these are the adults and their offspring from this year, this year's juveniles, and probably some of last year's groups. And where I see them almost every time, every flock I see this time of year, which is the first time of year when I get the crows together in flocks, it's always in a mowed hayfield. You get a hayfield that's just been mowed, and there are lots and lots and lots of bugs, grasshoppers and the like, that are in that hay, and now they have no place to hide, and the crows get in there and they just feast. So watch for that. And speaking of young crows and feasting, a couple of weeks ago, the crows were screaming and crying and begging for food as they were learning to fly. And on Sunday, the bald eagle, the eaglet in the nest by my house, was doing the same thing. It was screaming and crying and begging for food, and Mom and Dad were staying away and saying, "Hey, you just need to learn to fly, and then you can have all the food you can catch." So listen for the eagles to be complaining about their lot in life, but believe me, they'll get past it, and pretty soon you'll find them flying around. And as for me, because the nest is near my house, oftentimes some of those flights end up, well, in the past years, they have ended up on my deck. One of them, I once found one in a white spruce that was so thick that there was no way a bird the size of an eagle could open its wings in there. It had to actually kind of jump out of the white spruce and onto the ground before it could take off and fly back to the nest. So as they learn to fly, they end up in some rather unusual places, and you might be blessed with a close encounter with a bald eagle, an eaglet, anytime soon. St. John's wort is blooming. This is a five-petaled yellow flower, usually a cluster of them at the top of the plant. If you think that you have St. John's wort, go pick a leaf and hold the leaf up to the sunlight. And if you can see holes in the leaf, very tiny little pinholes in the leaf, that is your common St. John's wort, Hypericum perforatum. And the perforatum refers to the perforated leaves. So check those out. The herbalists among us know well that the St. John's wort is kind of a calming, relaxing sort of a tincture that can be taken to settle your nerves if you're a nervous person. As I mentioned earlier today, I've been swimming in the mine pits, and one day, usually I put my mask and snorkel on, and then I just watch the bottom because it's so interesting to watch the bottom go by while you're swimming. And at some point, I turned and I sort of looked up at the shoreline. Now, that's the other thing about swimming in mine pits. Oftentimes, you're in 10 or 15 feet of water, and you're 5 feet from shore because they drop right off. They're mine pits. And so you can be very, very close to shore as well as in some pretty deep water. But the fact that you're close to shore gives you a chance to either get out of the water if you need to, or to check out things that are growing along the shore. And one of the things I saw this past week and reminded me of something that I've known for a long time but sometimes forget to tell you about, and that is red osier dogwood. This is a dogwood, a shrub, a woody shrub with bright red bark. And this time of year, it is covered in, and this one was a great example, this one was covered in milk white berries and white flowers. And the thing about the red osier dogwood is that it is an indeterminate flowering plant. So it doesn't have a season, like Harvey Jader mentioned that the roundleaf dogwood is still blooming. The roundleaf dogwood blooms once a year, and it's usually in late June and on into July. The red osier dogwood might bloom in May, it might bloom in June, it might bloom in July, it might bloom in August, it might even bloom in September, I've seen it. And at the same time, it may have, if it bloomed in May, it may have fruit, as it did here in early July. I was seeing ripe fruit and wide open new flowers for more. And that is the nature of the red osier dogwood, which makes it a little bit different from other plants. I saw my first sunflowers, wild sunflowers, yesterday, and I didn't go up to the plant to check out to see whether it was sawtooth sunflower or tall sunflower. But in this area, those are the two possibilities. I have to go up, I'll check it out today and see if there's hair on the stem or not. And that will be my determinant. If it has hair on the stem, it's probably tall sunflower. If it lacks hair on the stem, it's probably sawtooth sunflower. My neighbor Marvin Beer reports that the sandhill cranes are still out in the fields, and that would be mom and dad and their little colt. And so we're pretty happy about that. And Marvin is also mowing his hay right now. He says that this year the hay is about half of what he would expect in a normal year. And he can't quite remember other years where the hay growth has been this poor this time of year. Pearly Everlasting began to bloom yesterday. Very pale green leaves and a bright white flower, and it makes a great dried fruit or dried flower arrangement plant because it will maintain its bright white flowers right into whatever dried fruit or dried, why do I keep saying dried fruit, dried flower arrangement you might choose. Yesterday, I was out at Sugar Lake Lodge. The ebony jewelwing and the river jewelwing damselflies that have been so popular and so plentiful along the creek there are really going down in numbers. There are just very few left. I mentioned ripe plants. I mentioned that the pin cherries are just beginning to come to fruit. The fruits are just beginning to ripe on the pin cherries. Marsh bellflower. A small white bell-shaped flower growing in or around a marsh, a swamp. Its stems are really weak and really thin, and it just kind of drapes itself over the sedges that it's growing amongst. So if you're looking at a big patch of sedges along the edge of a lake or something like that, and you see a bunch of little white bell-shaped flowers in there, that's marsh bellflower. And final note for today has to do with a plant called boneset. And boneset is a flower very similar to the Joe Pye weed. And though I don't have Joe Pye weed around me, I would expect that it is getting ready to bloom as well. Boneset has a kind of a hairy, woolly-looking flower that's going to be white. And Joe Pye weed will have the same sort of a flower, hairy, woolly-looking, but it's going to be pink or magenta. So boneset got its name because if you look at the leaves of boneset, they seem to join together at the base. And in the early days, that seemed to indicate to people who were herbalists that it had some power to knit bones. And so if you had a broken leg, they'd oftentimes drape it with boneset, which really wouldn't help the break much, but probably kept the flies off. That's the Phenology Show for today. As in the past, and as we have done for so many years, we bring this to you with the idea that it will encourage you to get out and enjoy nature, to be observant, to look and see what's happening around you. One of the things that's happening around you right now is our supplication for your membership. So if you are a member and have lapsed, or if you are a member whose membership comes due this time of year, give us a call. If you're not yet a member, if you haven't made that move, we're here because you are there and we are doing this for you. So join us, call us, let us know that you appreciate the work that we're doing and that you would like to become a member, as these folks
two
have.
Bells. Two bells, please. The bells mean that we have heard from two of you. Thank you so much for calling or pledging online, KAXE.org. The number is 800-662-5799. Get that new late-colored Sasquatch T-shirt and Augie's note cards at $20 a month.